Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Low Moon Origins, and the story continues.
Okay. This is Low Moon Uprising for, what's the date? September 18th, the first, and as far as we know, only session in the month of September. Whence last we broke. The party was split two ways. Sure to see lots of fighting. Section one, Lucas and Reiki joined in the defense of the village. And in the pre-dawn hours, they were assigned troops in a station, basically, if you will, a place to strengthen the wall. And the forces that are gathered around the town appear more than sufficient under normal circumstances to give the town a big fight for its money. Now, they do have a couple of columns of knights that have joined in, some adventurers from the area. Theoretically, they have some spell support, and they have the wall advantage. They're on the defensive. So without the hobgoblins' assistance, it's kind of anybody's guess. The army that surrounds the town is somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000 to 7,000 strong. And the current occupancy of the town is maybe 2,500 to 3,000, counting its swelled ranks. Wouldn't be so bad, except it is evident that in the forces that have gathered around the town, there are giants and trolls and relatively organized groups of hobgoblins. And so those are more than what common folk can really fight against. There's no siege engines per se inside the town, nor have you seen them in place amongst the humanoid army that surrounds the town currently. Okay? Now, the Hobgoblin army is not in place. And so if the Hobgoblin army comes, they will so tip the scales that the likelihood of survival becomes slim. And so the other part of your party was racing off to attempt to save the last sacrifices, the chieftain sacrifices, which are in theory the most significant, because if the chieftain receives word that other sacrifices have failed, he may still engage, and he, as was seen at the end of last session, he has thousands of hobgoblins, probably in the neighborhood of between 4,000 and 8,000 hobgoblins in very organized fashion. And they are the higher tech variety of hobgoblins, so they have good weaponry and good tactics. And so they did have some siege weaponry that they were moving up as well. Ballista, towers, rams, that kind of thing. And so the party had seen them advancing, they only saw the big, huge units of men and limited siege weaponry that they had. So, as far as the details goes, Lucas doesn't really know the full extent of it, but you know that the village is surrounded from every direction, and if the party is unsuccessful in stopping the sacrifice, the odds tip very poorly in your favor. It becomes a last stand kind of thing. Okay? Or very against your favor, I should say. All right. That being said, so the first thing we're going to do is play an episode of the fight in the village. This is pre-dawn, so it's still dim outside. And so, yes, there were healers that you didn't get a visit from the healers. Were you eligible for natural healing? We'll say yes. Okay. So natural healing in this case amounts to 8 points. Okay. There are acolytes and like that in the village, and they would theoretically use the healing. However, you realize that like a cure light would potentially be very put a normal first level fighter back to functionality. So they're not chomping at the bit to use what healing they have. They're going to be running around saving lives. They have a triage area set up in the center of town. Archers are on every, archers and crossbowmen are on every building, top of first story, top of second story, top of third, whatever they've got. They're on every building because it's the only way they can see over the wall and all the troops effectively. So, for this part, first part of the battle, I'm going to have one of you take over dicing for one of the other knights that has taken up positions with troops around. So, Arden, pick a color.
Dice?
Yep.
Is this like an in character choice?
Yep.
You mean this is the section I'm looking
at? Yep.
There's a little strategy here if you pick your mind because I roll bad.
I will go with.
Okay. Gold brown, basically. Gold brown. Alright. Tell me what color of spot do you want to take?
I want to take
the golden brown.
I'll take purple.
You'll be rolling for Dorian. Purple. Okay. And what color would you like, Ricky?
I assume.
Can't have golden brown or purple.
I love that I've talked with
you. Arden took purple. Sorry.
I'm kind of disappointed in all of that.
Tommy took purple.
Blue? Okay.
Oh boy.
All right. And you're rolling for a knight and troops called, his name is Valiant. So basically what happens is, even though there have been no sign of the huge army of hobgoblins, nor any understanding of the results of what the party may have tried to stop, whatever, but the horde around the village has pressed ever closer overnight. And, hold on a second. Find my spot here.
I figured you would recognize it.
Okay, so about an hour before dawn, it's still pretty dark, and there are torches burning in town and lanterns and that kind of thing. But there's not, like, fires in the countryside, so people are standing at the walls kind of peering off into the darkness looking for trouble. And there are no war drums or, you know, any sign that trouble comes. The first sign that you hear is someone yells, "Goblins!" And people jump to their position. A hail of sling fire begins to hit the walls in almost every section. And so there, you saw before when you were coming into town that there were goblins in the cornfields outside, and now they are pressing in. You can see from your vantage point over your troops. By the way, you do have a horse, so you can be on the horse up behind the troops, and it's more mobility, that kind of thing. But bear in mind that it exposed you to a lot more missile fire in the early stages, so probably you are with the horse or just have it tied up behind. You also could assign a soldier to keep it, bring it near you if you, wherever you go, basically. That would be the typical way. Normally you would have a squire, but you don't, so. Alright, do you have, you're a knight, so roll a d20 for heraldry.
7.
Alright, valiant and, Dorian both have heraldry as well, but you guys both roll d20s. Okay. I rolled an 8 also. I rolled a 5. Okay. So all of you are aware that the goblins are from the Rust Fang. They're the Rust Fang horde of goblins. And generally speaking, that means that they're very vicious goblins, very warlike, like that kind of thing. As they come forward, they carry shields made with doors and planks and all kinds of just kind of like odds and ends. You figure they probably picked them off of the village and the farmhouses that are all around. And so they're doing their best to stay covered. But at the same time, they do use slings. And so they are slinging at the weak points in the wall or look anywhere that they can get an advantage. As they are closing, do you have your missile troops shoot at them? Or are you just going to tell them to hold their fire? So each of you has about 40 bowmen. So, I mean, it depends on how close they come, but you start taking sling fire at about 100 yards out. Now, it's not very accurate, but, for example, if the bowmen stand out to shoot, then there's more chance that they'll get hit, but there's also more chance that they'll kill goblins.
Are we concerned about ammo?
Eventually, yes. Each bowman will be able to draw no more than about 28 arrows.
I would say 4.
Unless arrows come from the enemy, which does happen sometimes. Okay, so Lucas is ordering bowmen stay undercover, basically. Stay undercover! Okay, not worth it! Right? Okay, so all around the village, knights get the word, and they are not shooting at the goblins, at least initially. They do come to the point where they are at 50 or 60 yards, which is short range for them, which will mean that they begin to have the possibility of doing damage, killing people. A hail of fire. Sling bolts begin to bounce off. So in Lucas's area, in the first moment, no one falls. Everyone is undercover. In Dorian's area, they are somewhat more successful. What color are you, Tommy? I forgot.
Purple.
That's right. Okay. So you see one or two of your guys take a sling hit. Nobody goes down from it. And in Valiant's area as well, no one goes down. No substantial hits. Okay. So they are within 60 yards of the wall everywhere, all the way around. You're seeing 50 or 60 of them. You would guess that there are 400 goblins within 60 yards of the wall. They are staying behind their planks. They're hiding in the cornfield. They're not coming within easy striking distance. The archers look nervous, like they would like to do something. Okay. Did I say goblins? I've been saying goblins all the time, aren't I? These are kobolds. I apologize. Okay. So they're kobolds. All right.
Are they organized under
me,
or is it just...
Organized in their what?
Their slinging shots.
I mean, no, it's pretty random. They're behaving like skirmisher troops, so they're whenever they see something to shoot at, that's when they sling. The sling bullets that are stones or whatever that are coming in are dangerous, but if you're staying down behind the wall, if you're down behind your shield, like that kind of thing, it's not real dangerous. But you did see a couple of guys take a significant hit. It's just more luck than anything. One guy was running from one cover to another. One guy just arrived at the wall.
What's the good range for the bow?
It's short range now. But there's a lot of them.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So you can see 40 or 50 in front of your section of the wall. Okay? And then, after several moments, they continue to swing. They're really not having much effect because nobody's really sticking their head out. And goblins begin to take up formation, and these are much more numerous. You can see them in groups in the cornfield and so on. And then they, at about 100 yards, they begin to fire sling stones and short bows at the wall. And so now there's a veritable hail of missile fire, slings from the kobolds, sling stones, and arrows from the goblins. So you would guess that you, on your each one of you on your section of the wall, you've got about 100, maybe 200 goblins within 100 yards. So you've got kobolds at 60 yards, goblins at 100 yards, 40 to 60 of the former, and 100 to 200 of the latter. The people at the wall, how many right now that James in? I forgot to, and gotta grab a chair out of the sanctuary.
Sanctuary locked?
It is locked. That's gonna be a problem. Okay, so at this point, you've got hundreds of goblins at the wall. The orcs are essentially charging the same area, and so it is fairly likely that they will that the troops will get overwhelmed. War drums, battle cries, death and destruction, madness and mayhem.
Dorian will say, "How many dice do we have left?"
Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE. That's LM Give to 419-419-0095.
So there is a column of knights at the center of town, and so you figure they will probably engage.
Ooh, they're gonna plow right over.
But whether or not they are enough is the question. You definitely don't want to get in their way.
Dorian will go a third of his troops and follow the knights advance.
Okay.
We'll let them do the initial assault and then follow the limb. So you definitely
don't want to be on the front end of that. What color are you, Tommy? Purple?
No.
And you're taking those troops there? You're not sending them? Caitlin at any time. So I'm going to suggest that we pause briefly here. to get some food, and then we'll take it back up. Cause I want to flip back and forth between this and the sacrifice battle, so, which is going to be more personal in nature. All right. Devotional based on Judges 8:1. Then the men of Ephraim said to him, "What is this thing you have done to us, not calling us when you went to fight against Midian?" And they contended with him vigorously. They were upset because they were left out. Gideon had not authored the action. God had. Gideon didn't provide the power or authority. God did. Gideon had widowed down the number of troops as God had ordered. He widowed them down from 20,000 to 300, by the way. But then when the victory was in the offing, many tribes and many men participated, and this tribe was complaining they were feeling left out. It seems to me their complaints are unfounded. They could have done whatever. They could have been aware, as these things were not done in a blind alley. Also, I know that the opportunity to fight for God is plentiful. Consider that these were people active in sinful behavior, indeed wickedly serving the gods of the land, as were all the tribes. He had no obligation, social or otherwise, to enlist their aid, and here they are giving him a lot of trouble over it. In fact, the word vigorously is used. I'd say this irritation is actually just another aspect of their unrighteousness. So, when we step out for God after the fact, we can expect someone to complain that they were not given their just opportunity to participate. We can tell them to take it up with God, but I would expect a certain form of persecution arising from the supposedly faithful, or at least people that argue they deserved a chance. Minor typo in there. Okay. All right. So, just so you guys are aware, we were in the middle of a monster battle, literally, a battle of monsters. That's funny, a monster battle of monsters. Anyway, this is the fortified village. The players that were here were elected to run one of the military commanders, and I had both of you elected to run one of the military commanders as well. And then Aaron disrolled really poorly. I don't know why you did that. It was really not good that you rolled so poorly.
You were bad.
Yeah, very bad. And so your part of the village is the one that's being invaded right now by hundreds, 500 or 600 goblins, and then now orcs. And so reinforcements were rushing there to try to stop it, but it was getting out of control. Also, if things don't go better here shortly, it's going to be really ugly because they were facing somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 troops that included trolls, bugbears, giants, etc. And if they can't fend off the goblins and the orcs as they come in, then one would think they're probably going to die to the bugbears, gnolls, trolls, and giants.
Oh my.
So they haven't actually seen the tougher forces yet. They've only gotten as far as the orcs, and as of right now, it is definitely a major melee. That being said, elsewhere... Once we last left the rest of the party, they were looking down on a huge marching force of hobgoblins. And you had seen major units of hobgoblins crossing below you're up on a ridge line basically and watching down below. And you've seen major, probably 4,000 to 5,000 hobgoblins passing below you. Okay, and so you know that the sacrifice was, by your estimation anyway, was to the right of where you actually are on the ridge line. You had just taken that opportunity to go and look and see exactly how big the forces were, and it wasn't really even intentional. It was just like you came up there, you heard them passing, so you took a look. Okay. So at that point, I assume you are trying to move into position to actually see the sacrifice site and see what might be able to be accomplished. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought. So at present, then, you have Dirmud with you. You have, obviously, Asturd, Klum, Chiron, Herrick. I'm missing somebody. No. Serena? Did she go back?
She went back.
Okay.
So, I think it's just the five of us.
Yep, so it's just the five of you.
Just the five of us.
Feeling moderately outnumbered versus the 4,000 to 5,000
well-armed, well-trained hobgoblins marching below you. However, if you do not stop the sacrifice, they will join the fray against the village, and that will be the end of that. Because you know that the village is not equipped to fight this many hobgoblins on top of everything that they are doing.
Like the initial force.
Yeah, it's not really looking great, okay?
I'll take off my helmet because I used it for the day. And at least I think I'll slip it in and I will pull out a coral sea crown and put it on my head.
Okay, so you head down off the ridge line, kind of basically paralleling the ridge line to the right. Hobgoblins are marching past below. They are marching in just about silence, other than you hear the ruffle of their armor, their footsteps, clink of pikes, and that kind of thing. Just beyond the ridge line, so looking, wait, first of all, realize it is dark, it's pitch black dark, it is just before dawn, and you know that the final sacrifice was to take place at dawn, and so you're really cutting it close on time. With the ridge line at your left, it slopes down. To the right, you can see in a valley, so there's these are foothills of the mountains, right? And the rolling hills come together, and looking to the right, you can see in a valley, a low-lying area, and you can see a river and lush trees lining the river, a very green area of vegetation. Okay? Back of you, it's hills and sparse trees, and then further yet, the plains that surround the village. Okay? But ahead of you, it's hills, mountains, basically. Dearmood knows that far ahead of you and to the left is the hobgoblin kind of like homeland, if you will. It's an area where they had conquered previous civilizations, and they pretty well have it fortified and under control. Okay? So you're not too far from there. You don't want to provoke a major force coming out of there, obviously. Okay? So Astert is leading the way. You're picking your path through the woods, trying to get to where the sacrifice is. Roll percentile dice. What? Okay. Okay. I don't remember what it does, but okay.
I don't know what it is.
I'll have to look it up. Oops. Apparently that
was this is the first time he's
just
put it on.
Too much to do.
So. 30. I'm going to use it now.
Okay.
It's not my controlled environment.
So down off the high place, through the trees, you find a deer track. You lead the party, paralleling that kind of flat road area. It's not really a road, but it's a big wide space that the huge groups of hobgoblins are marching in. You stay pretty well concealed. You realize that it is possible that they will have outriders in the woods. Like most armies move, they have light troops that kind of parallel them in the woods so that somebody can't hit them from a distance or sneak up on them, that kind of thing. And sure enough, as you're picking your way through the woods, you hear movement. They're not really trying to be quiet. Probably they have a huge army nearby, so it's not that. Not really necessary that they be particularly stealthy. But it allows you to kind of signal to the group, everybody be quiet, whatever, and they pass by with no conflict. What you see as they pass by is a group of about 10 to 15 hobgoblins with short composite bows, arrows, thick black arrows with red fletchings, banded armor. Okay, and after a second, they're gone. They're moving fairly quickly, pushing the brush out of the way, that kind of thing. Okay, so you continue on in the woods. You do not see another group of outriders, and at that point in time, the main body of troops has passed. However, you do hear sounds, and then as you kind of like, you come to a place where you're moving downhill, you're looking left, there's a lot of brush, and there must be water here a good part of the year. It's like a wadi, but it's not running with water now.
And you look to the left and you see what would be considered the baggage of the army. They have heavy, clunky, rough wooden wagons being pulled by oxen. And it's a large train, large wagon train. So you see, you're able to spot a half dozen wagons as you're in that area. But from the sound of it, it's probably more like 40, 50, maybe more. Okay. So again, don't really think that the sacrifice would be in the baggage train of the army. Its passing marks that you probably would be clear to cut left and search that area.
Party stopped a few already, right?
What's that?
This party stopped a few of the...
Yes, all but this one, in fact.
They kind of know what they're looking for.
Well, they're looking for a site for a sacrifice. That's what they're looking for. And they know it's in... They're very near it. It's in this area.
Yes, the answer to the question is yes.
Okay. So, are you going to turn and kind of go see if it's safe to cross the valley and search that area for it? I mean, you don't know exactly where it's at. Jeremy is there, yes. Yes, the five of you are together, and that's it. He's been leading the way.
I'll say it.
Oh, here it is, I found it.
Once we take care of the sacrifice, we can try and sabotage their supplies.
That's what I was thinking.
Sorry.
Are they being led by, like, goblins or anything, or is it just oxen?
Yeah, there's troops walking in amongst it, guarding the train. And then each wagon surely has a single driver and probably a protector as well. So it's not a small... I mean, you still have to deal with 80 to 100, or how many... Because you don't know how many wagons are off the shore, but it's not like 40 or 50 wagons. And so you figure you'd have to deal with probably 100 hobgoblins to really... And they are not too terribly far behind the army, which means if you made a lot of noise doing it, you could attract attention from the army.
Yeah. I'm too talented to be sheer muscle.
Okay, so you move to the edge. So everyone's crouching, kind of like a bunch of brush around you. Very little animal activity. No birds. All the animals have been chased away or hushed by this massive force that's moved through the area. The signs of their passing are evident. Not only are there tons of footsteps, there's occasional stuff that they've dropped. There's some piles of dung here and there, like somebody just like stepped aside and pooped, basically, right in the middle of the open. Also oxen dung from the animals, that kind of thing. Okay. So as you're there, looking left, you can see across the gully, which would be full of water normally if it was rainy season, up the hill, through the brush, you can pick out the occasional wagon. It's about a quarter mile, 3/8 of a mile away. Okay. Across the front of you is all dense wood, mostly pine trees, and so would provide heavy canopy. And it's very dark here, so you can't really see in there. Okay. The sun is behind the mountains, which are due, like, straight ahead of you now. You're facing the sun, but it's behind the mountains. So you're in a deep, shadowy area. It's very dim. Now, you know hobgoblins see pretty well in the dark, so it's kind of like... But from here, this open area, pine trees, mountains. Looking to the right, you can see a place where there's a mountain, and then there's a mountain kind of jutting out behind it, and a mountain jutting out behind it, and there in there is a lot of green and pine and stuff, and you can see light and smoke. So there's some kind of light yellowish color, like kind of around the tree edges and stuff. You can't see into the area because it's pretty far away, probably 3 miles. And then you can see drifting smoke rising above the trees. So that is by far your best hope yet. Okay. Headed that way, but discreetly?
Yeah.
Okay. Roll a d20. He does do enough to point it out to y'all that kind of that's where we're headed.
You want someone to sleep with your turn? So, by yourself, Jamie will go. Roll 54, move 7.
Okay, so he moves fairly quietly along with you. It is still a bit of a distraction to have him around, even if he's quiet, so it will adversely affect your ability to surprise people, even if he's quiet.
Okay. All right.
All right. It's a couple mile walk. Then from that point, you have to cross the valley. You're not spotted, and then you are under pine trees, and there's needles half an inch, like it's like walking almost on a mattress. Because there's half an inch of needle detritus below that's like you're stepping on the whole time. And the animals of the forest come back to life. And
someplace. I don't know where, because I was having trouble finding the description. Okay. All right. After the roughly 2 mile walk, you realize you are indeed coming up on a semi stationary encampment that are hobgoblins. You spot one at a couple hundred yards who's standing a sentry post, standing at a tall tree. And then you can see shadows moving around in the light from the fire. And you manage to kind of pick a course through. And you wind up, you kind of go up onto a rise, and then there's a big boulder, big gray, looks almost like it was like part of a mountain at one point in time, but that's there. It's 20 feet tall, and maybe 40 feet wide. And one could get up on top of it with some effort, but no one's up on top of it. And you're coming up behind it, and you can go around it to the right, which is like a little gully, and then there's some other boulders there, and from there you can look into the encampment.
I'll do that. I'll
go look. Okay. Are you leaving them at the base of the hill long enough for you to get a look? All right. Oh, that works.
Okay. Your classic part distraction is to walk in with me.
So what you see below you, there is a bonfire going, as you would have expected. It's about 10 foot in diameter. It's burning 5 foot high flames. Standing around it are... four of the thin, kind of wispy-looking guys that you saw before. They're gaunt. They're 6'5", thin, and they had really long fingers, and they were dangerous previously. And they're standing around the fire, looking into the fire. And then there are six hobgoblins, all of which look very large, very kind of like bigger than average hobgoblins, and they all have long composite bows. On their backs and quivers of 20 or so arrows. And then directly on the opposite side of the fire, you can see a thin cave. It's about 10 feet wide, and it kind of goes back in a slant. So you can't see into the cave, and it's steeped in shadow because that's almost toward the sun. Okay. And from the rock, you look back that way, and you can see the light blue of the sky across the world, kind of thing. So it is starting to get bright somewhere, but not here. This is in the shadow. So you see this cave that kind of goes back in to the left. You can't see into the cave. Six hobgoblins around the fire, four wispy guys around the fire. And here and there, dotted throughout the forest, you can see additional hobgoblin guards, five or six at least. You don't see the sacrifice, you don't see the chieftain or ruling parties, anything like that at the moment. But this does probably look like it's either is or very near the site of the sacrifice. So what do you want to do?
Kind of get down off the rock and call everybody else up here.
Sure. Okay. So you slip down a little ways so you're out of view and then call them up. Now, this path that you picked led up here didn't interfere with any of the hobgoblin guards. That's why you chose it. So, okay. So the five of you clump together at the base of this giant rock. He has a look of meaningful parley on his face. And what happens?
We're playing Ranger Boy. Well, there's a lock.
It's 2,000. Six hobgoblins for the wispy dudes.
Well, there's all the texture hobgoblins around the perimeter. Was it six around the perimeter?
At least. But they're not really in the perimeter. They're more like scattered in the woods. So could be a group of like skirmishers or something. So you would not have had to leave it behind, but you wouldn't have been riding it. So I mean, you're just leading it.
How far or how close can you get to the fire before we'd likely be seen?
I'm not sure.
You could get on this angle. You could go to the base of this rise and get within, say, 20 yards of the camp with relative safety. Beyond that, there's not much to cover you. Like, you'd be behind a tree, you might go tree to tree, but you'd also be kind of getting inside their perimeter, so somebody would possibly see you from the side.
You have an obscurement in memory.
As do I, which means that we can cover a larger area.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be heard before I'm seen, but I can also travel quite a bit of ground in a short time on horseback. So.
These wispy guys, what are they?
Well, they don't know.
They're wispy and have long fingernails and are fairly dangerous.
Seem to be otherworldly. I've never encountered them before tonight.
They did explode when they died, if anybody wants to mention that.
Yeah. They have a tendency to explode when they're dying.
I heard of such thing.
I mean, they're probably a lesser demon. You could legend lore if you want.
33.
A I'll keep you alive if you have to leave.
Awesome. Hey, Saunders.
If I can.
Oh, yeah. Pull out a wineskin and ask about it, too. I don't know.
He pulls out a wineskin, puts it up to his face.
Like a phone. What you got for me?
I picked up a loom on the way.
A strong one.
Man, everybody in the Uprising party would look insane outside of the Uprising party.
Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Looney Tunes.
They're all nuts.
So Jake and Xavier are pretty normal.
Jake is fairly normal. Xavier has a sword out all the time and runs into combat not wearing any armor.
Yeah.
He wears basic clothes and bracers because he has bracers of armor, but they just look like bracers. Jake is probably the most normal looking. He does have an insane looking sword.
+4 defender.
Yeah.
They're nice. I had one for a while.
So Heronius' sword.
Yeah, he has Heronius' sword. The sword that he was talking about, like the legendary.
Yeah, we'll have to.
Aha! Yeah. Finally, I found it. Jeez. Or I'm in the right area anyway.
Okay. So, we want to. There's the risk of. We could take out the sentries quietly, potentially, but that would.
There's also a cave on the other
side. Not only getting in easy, but getting out hard.
See, we run in there.
Okay.
And we hit them hard and we hit them fast.
I am actively packing
myself. I mean, that might work. Is there any weird unidentified item that we might have that could potentially use here?
I'm a dragon.
I think I remember that. That could help.
Yeah.
I have an earring.
I'll run this way. Shit.
No, I was leaving at 8:15 and 8:15.
But I'll do that.
Did you get away? You could be an effective distraction to get out.
I mean, I could fly away for sure.
I don't know. The problem is...
to attract some attention at some point.
Just some.
Yeah, but we don't know what the forces are in the surrounding area.
Right.
You might draw more than what we are aware of.
Most concerned about flying.
Yeah, flying dragon tends to do that.
Well, anyways, I'd say we obscure the main group around the fire. And potentially, you know, get in as close as we can with bow fire, and then you can charge in and help deal with the rest.
So,
and by you, I mean you, plural, both of you. Because I'm not the most effective looking deal.
I can be bow fire, or I can be in the front.
I have bow fire.
More dangerous than my friend, but.
Actually, I prefer to use bow fire.
Have more options further away, potentially.
So two factors to weigh in. So one, this is like if you're actually planning on fighting the people that are down below, this is a pretty strategic place to fight them from because it's higher. They would be charging uphill or firing at you more likely because they look like they're all archers, every single one of them. You're going to take a lot of missile fire. So then, obscurement doesn't affect you, so you could fire from cover under obscurement. Everybody gets to increase their AC plus cover, and then. But if they just go to ground or take cover and don't like charge up, and you just trade shots with them for 20 minutes, then somebody loses. Yeah, probably.
Or happen to have any
the sacrifice
lances,
which is
that's the problem. Yeah, you fail in your
extra test. Long spears, do
bag of useful things,
monster.
No.
I'll brush out.
I suppose you want to know what comes out.
Thought it might be a long shot.
Is there something like a really long table leg?
How far is it from
where we're laying?
60 yards.
Okay. Yeah, and that because you're going to be our most effective bow fire.
Yeah, so that's the other thing is like if you were doing this by yourself, you would from up here and maybe move around to a couple of different positions, take out most of them. Basically, if you successfully shoot a hobgoblin, he's going to be in a very bad way very fast because you're getting +1 point of damage per level.
So
plus point blank.
You might actually be able to draw them point blank if they don't see where your arrows are coming from and you're hitting them from multiple locations.
Boots.
Fresh out, he says, holding a pair of boots.
If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends.
Size 8.
Are they magical?
No.
Unlikely, other than the fact that it just appeared out of a small bag.
Hold up the tongue. 8.
It probably doesn't say.
He still says that.
Tags inside there are probably a relatively new thing.
I've got a heel.
Maker's mark.
Infinity.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is if it, just if it takes too long.
It takes too long. Things.
They're probably not going to charge up here at you if you. So if you took out, you could move around a little bit and get. You're good for four or five of them pretty easily. But the problem is if they stay undercover and. It's not that you wouldn't eventually defeat them. You probably still would eventually defeat them, but the problem is they'll come. Some if the sacrifice is taking place somewhere, it'll get completed while you're doing that.
The gangly guys, are they primarily melee combatants?
Yes.
Do they float, or do they just run on their feet?
Pretty much just run on their feet.
I know, that's a weird question.
I'm not sure. I mostly just chilled them before they did too much last time, but more than this time.
So they're advanced a little, potentially.
Well, it's just a matter of if we don't push the attack and they choose to hold their position, then we're going to have to advance.
Send the horse.
Also, if I'm remembering correctly, I think they were summoning more.
Yep. That was probably the worst thing, was they kept more of them popping up.
So those should be primary targets from the beginning.
Get as close as we can. And how many of those gangler guys? Four?
Four.
If four of us could each take one out quickly, then they won't summon. Think about demons and see it. They're like this. Well, they don't fight by themselves.
Well, that's what I say, if we can get
out with them. How are you even taking them out? I'm not taking them out back here.
No, that's why I'm saying we're going to have to.
I don't think before anybody.
We're going to have to. I don't think, as good as this position is, if we're trying to hold them, it's great. But from an offensive position, it's not. Yeah. It's not great.
Can we surround them and then take a couple shots and then have Chiron going after if they're confused?
They don't need to be surrounded. They just need to be.
I think we just.
I mean, when I thunder down there, they're going to. Panic for a minute.
I think we just come in as a unit and hit them as hard as we can. Throw the whole camera.
Say, well, and that's where I'd say we get as close as we can. We put up the obscurement and we try and deal with them.
Tactically, the best option to take out a couple of those.
No, we will have to worry about potentially people coming from the outside. So I'll stick with you, and if they come, I'll try and keep them off you long enough for you to destroy them.
Do you have any access?
No.
I have a lot too, but that's not what I meant.
You have to be.
I want in every city.
Oh.
I said X's.
I thought you were going to want X's. Well, I was trying to, I guess, ask a relevant question.
Unidentified spell is what I meant. It became funny.
Yes, a couple. Or, sorry, one. But one. It does not seem offensive in nature.
What rank is it?
First.
Particularly useful here. But, yeah, I think we just hit them as hard as we can.
All right, that's your little things.
Let's move into position as close as we can, and then we will do that.
My puzzle like is they happen as soon as you roll them.
I'm going to stay here so that I don't give your positions away. And
yeah, you can cover 60 yards pretty quick.
When I see the first shot fired off, charge in.
Right. How much ground can you cover with stone drift?
20 yards.
20 yards?
It's always 20 yards.
Random direction.
Random direction. Oh, 20 yards.
That's fine.
That's why it's called drift.
Yeah. It's a get out of jail free. Get out of jail card.
It could be. As long as your jail is built on a stone floor.
Yeah.
Or has a stone wall.
Do you have a stone ship? Could be useful.
That's a whole other thing.
That might be useful when we're in the
same cave. Yeah, that's another thing. Alright. Going and guns a blazing.
Alright. So, what happens first? Let me get this, make sure I get the strategy correct.
The horse.
With the exception of Chiron, is going to attempt to approach as close as we can.
Got it.
Create discovery.
Okay.
Cast the obscurement.
Okay.
He's going to set things off, or they're going to set things off by the first round of shooting, at which point Chiron's going to charge in.
Okay. And Chiron's charging in
from
to the main camp, basically. Yeah. At the thin four guys and the six champions, or whatever they are.
Okay. We're going to try and sneak in as close as you can. Maybe I can pick out. They probably see me, but I get close enough.
Well, experiment will limit their ability to see.
I'm pretty quick.
Fair extent.
I'm fairly stealthy.
Especially in the dark.
I can hit.
Yeah.
Do they take a lot to go down? I get two of them in the back stab.
Talking about the, which
they're
guys?
They're certainly not peasants.
Which guys are talking about? The hobgoblins or the...
No, the kings and fellas.
No, they went down pretty easy.
I might go take out two on the back stab if they're close enough together.
But the problem is they were dangerous and they were multiplying. And that was the problem.
Yeah. You have to kill them immediately as soon as you can before it starts.
Yeah. So I would say definitely you should be part of the party for yourself.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I'd say for the first round, they should be probably using the hot goblins.
So Ricky governs, or I should say,
Hail Mary and another potential.
Astrid governs the approach. Therefore, we will let him roll the surprise roll. You roll a d8, sir. Add dex bonus if you have it. Higher numbers are good here.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
For sure. There is a dex bonus?
Yeah, dex bonus to hit.
What's your dex? 16. Plus 1.
Okay, there you go. Sorry.
Whoa.
I was looking at the transcript, and all of a sudden I accidentally started it playing.
I have one... Kill one guy, very, very hard ability.
Are they okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So the party navigates their way down following a stirred, and you get kind of scattered amongst trees and bushes at the edge of the camp. It's dark, but we know hobgoblins see fairly well in the dark, so that it's in there the fire is burning, so it's probably making it a little less likely that they're able to see you out here if they're inside the fire. Unless the fire reaches this far, which doesn't seem. Yeah, it seems like they do.
I do have an amulet that provides invisibility
and invision. Nice. That would be helpful.
That will help you.
Of course, they're not looking on invision really right now because they've got a giant fire.
I'm just saying it comes up.
But could be. Yep. Okay. So, you're scattered in your little brush and bush whatever area with Dearmood kind of out to the left. Were the two of you kind of like in the back of that pack then? Is that the plan? Because you're going to open with bowfire?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the two of you are more toward the front of that pack.
I'm planning on sticking with him.
You're going to stick with, you're going to cover Stir. Okay. So you're more toward the front. So the three of them are back and you're creeping closer. Is what you're
trying.
Okay.
That's not two of the demon dudes.
Okay. No, I mean, they're not standing side by side. So, but if they're surprised, that would be helpful. Okay. And at which point the starting factor is the obscurement and the knight charging in, right?
And the obscurement and the first bowfire is what's going to start.
Okay. That's what's going to start. All right?
The charge.
Okay. All right. So take your first shots. You get one before combat and then two for the first round. So you get a total of three.
Kill the game, these fellas.
If you target the ones closest to you, you could get one. If you target the ones closest to you, you could get point blank. But those would, that would be hobgoblins, not the gangly dudes.
I'll target point blank.
Okay, so two different targets, point blank.
Yeah.
If you go to a third target, you could do that, but it would not be point blank. There's two that are point blank. All right, so the one that's not in point blank would be the gangly guy. All right, got it. So first shot.
Is 7.
Okay, that's a hit.
Second shot is 6. The bow is
2 to hit. Oh, that helps. Yeah. That's also a hit.
And the gangly guy is 13.
Also a hit. All three hit. Okay, so you can roll damage on the two hot valves, but they're almost certainly going to die.
And it's going
to be 6 plus 2 might not die.
Oh boy, here we go killing again.
6 plus 2 times 2.
Pretty morning.
2 closest ones are 4 and 5.
This is
seven. So 4, yeah, two. 4 plus 2.
Oh boy, here we go killing
again. 6 plus 2 is that.
Plus your level.
Yep. Plus his level and 2 for the bow.
Check out Things Were Different Back Then, the origin story of Lord Victor told from a certain point of view.
12 and 14 and what level are you now? Trained for 6? Training for 6 or trained? So 5.
You are trained. Completed training for 6?
Completed
six.
Training. Okay, so 6. Alright, so it's 12, 14, 20 points. Okay, he goes down.
I'm not. 4 and 5.
So 5 would be
too close.
5, 14, 22.
Okay, he goes down.
than the other guy.
To a short range, so it's a d6. And then you get plus one for a short range, makes five, and two for the bow makes seven. He also goes down.
He explodes,
but he's not close enough to get anybody else. But basically, a flash of flame and light as he disappears.
And the experiment is on.
Okay, so then it becomes foggy. So are you covering where you're at and as much of the camp as you can, or covering the camp?
I'm hitting as much of the camp as I can.
Okay.
That's good.
We're not together, so I can't tell you. We can't discuss what we're doing now.
Sure.
Okay. So you hit the camp area. It covers the whole thing, so it's not a problem. It doesn't quite get to the cave mouth. It does not quite get to where you're positioned. Okay. Are you going to obscurement as well? If you put the obscurement over top of yourselves, then anyone attacking you gets minus two to hit. As it stands right now, what he's done, only someone who's attacking inside there or on the other side of there would get the minus two to hit. Then again, you might be going in there, so that may not necessarily be a bad thing.
Yeah, I'll do that.
And it's going to make it much more difficult for them to shoot out.
So right, and they are limited duration. They don't last real long. So we're not putting it up yet? Or you are?
I'm good now.
Okay, where do you want it?
I'll forget about it.
Where do you want it? Over top of where you're currently at?
Yeah, over us.
Okay. Okay, so they all get minus two to hit.
And you were shooting also, correct?
Is it round per level?
Yes.
I also get one shot.
Two.
It'll be seven for me.
And then...
And you probably want to target the same guy.
Yeah, the closest whiskey.
Or, I would say, you know they're kind of light. If you get a really good roll, you might kill them. So you could split two guys if you wanted to.
I'm going to hit the same guy.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Roll to hit.
The first one is a 6.
Actually,
it's
7d8 plus 4. There's a hit.
And then the second one is a...
There's a hit.
Both
dead.
2d6. And 5 and 5.
Okay, are you dead?
It's like when
he is floaty. That means there are only two.
Now I gotta pull my weight.
Okay, he also is not close enough to take anybody with him. Okay, so once the bow fire has happened, once the obscurement is up, once it's engaged, what you realize is it looks like the wispy guys in camp and the guards that surround the camp but that are not actually in the clearing, let's call it that instead, in the clearing are surprised. The bodyguard types, the big hobgoblins inside the clearing, are not surprised. Okay? So we will be in surprise segments. All right. So which means you can fire as normal, you can attack as normal, moving is slower, and you don't cover the full rate in 6 seconds that you would in a round. And spells take whatever time they normally take to cast, which we only have. I think we only have, well, not only, but mostly. Okay? So initiative for surprise segment one. Four baddies that are not surprised. Some of them are flying and some of them are half flying.
I'm flying on the ground.
Okay. Alright. Any missile fire? Or spells that go in missile fire?
I'm guessing there's missile fire.
Yeah.
Which is
you'll get two more shots. D6. That's soul wound. And it is one, yes. Okay, I'll roll for Ricky. He is going to attack two of the bodyguards. They will not be at point blank range. I mean, he'd be leaving cover to do it, so probably not.
And with hobgoblins, he's pretty good, regardless.
Oh, yeah, he's a guy class.
He's wondering what to go. Just one, he'll almost surely kill it. Two, he's not likely to kill two of them. He'd have to roll really well. It's not point blank. It's going to be plus three. He's going to take one. Both hit. Killed him.
Nice.
Down to three. Three unsurprised, very, very scary looking hobgoblins. Shooting?
I get two?
Yep.
First one is a 19.
Now, you could attack the wispy guys too, not the hobgoblins, just to be clear.
I'll go for the hobgoblins.
Okay. to a hobgoblin, and 19 is a hit. What was the other one?
6 becomes 10.
Is it?
First one is 6.
Okay.
One's 2.
Okay, still there. Okay. Now we go to, that was this missile fire. I wish you guys are surprised. So we go to melee 9, 8, 7.
I'm also, sorry, 3 for 2 on my attacks for non-fiction.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't change the bow.
Yeah, bow fire.
I didn't know.
You're one
above. It is number. I need to put that down. Oh, it is actually in parentheses underneath it. I didn't read that.
There you go.
Okay. So we're at 7, Dearwood.
She
rising
a whiskey guy.
Okay, so you gotta charge up.
Sure.
Okay, so it will take you the full segment, and you attack at the end of the segment.
Okay.
We're in 7.
That guy's in
danger. Any other 7s? 6s. And 6, 2. 2 of the remaining large hobgoblin dudes move to take cover behind nearby trees and are getting their bows out. Okay. Any other 6s? 5s.
I am holding my position in 5, protecting one.
What was the last thing?
He did. He's going to hop
out. 2. Right? No, I killed 1 this time because it was out of point blank range.
I forgot I was on
call.
He still had to call
customers. Oh, fierce. Okay. 5s. 4s. 3s. We're running out of people. Because bow fire.
He's
the only one left. Okay, 3.
Okay.
I've charged down the hill.
Okay, in 3. The remaining hobgoblin is running for a nearby tree to take cover. And Chiron is charging down the hill. So we'll assume you are mounted already, so we'll take you a segment to enter into the camp, or into the clearing, I should say, and you can attack at the end of the segment.
There are
a single attack.
Two
wispy dudes, and there are 3 hobgoblins, but they are all heading toward the trees, like to take cover. If you pick one of them, you could pick one of them and basically ride up and kill him without worrying about the cover, or try to. But you wouldn't be able to get like multiples.
Yeah.
So you're going to basically have to. If you go with the 2 wispy guys that remain in the clearing, you might be able to attack one and then go attack the other one. But yeah.
They're the only 2 left in the clearing.
They're shocked. They're like.
All right.
The hobgoblins ran for cover.
I'll go for those guys.
Yeah, we killed 3 of the hobgoblins and
2 wispies.
2 wispies.
Yep. Okay. So then I think that's everybody at the end of the round.
I know what I would call them, but I don't know if that's what they are.
The end of the round, Dearmood is arriving. Are you attacking one of the wispy guys?
Sure.
Okay, so Skyron, so you guys are working a good chaotic strategy here.
Well, I'm chaotic.
Yeah,
so how about you?
Perfect for you. He's awful. He was going for the dangerous.
All right, so just a max then. The first one probably
no.
Is.
No. It doesn't really need to be either. Okay. They're weak, remember.
Is it just my normal chin hit?
Yes.
Okay,
they get the bonus for surprised, but again.
First one's -2 without the bonus, and the other one is -1.
Okay. So both of you roll a d6. If you both roll the same, even, or odd, it means that you both went for the same guy at the same time.
Yeah.
So. What'd you roll?
Odd.
So both of you guys went for the same wispy guy at the same time. So you're arriving to kill the guy as he's killing him, basically. You're taking a swing at him at the same time. He blows up in flame. There is a chance. Dearmood is inside the blast radius. Chiron is not. Okay, saving throw versus spell.
Okay.
Dex bonus applies.
Is it fire?
Yes.
So Druid's got like a +2 the fire thing?
Correct.
Okay. Ooh, that's on. I need more bonuses. I failed. I rolled a 3.
You're actually a druid?
Yeah.
He's a bard.
Bards get all the things druid gets.
Druid spell.
They get the abilities too.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's almost.
They just don't get it. They only go up to 5th level spells.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. That I do.
Four classes in one.
The game we can shape into a dungeon and stuff too.
Yep. Okay, so you're taking 3 points of damage.
Ooh.
And you do the same for exposed equipment on your upper front against magical fire.
Okay. So, okay. It's like amulet.
And so, you put on the crown.
Yeah.
Amulet.
Crown.
Armor, probably, if you have it.
Or
sword. What, say again?
10 on the crown.
Okay. I do not have that chart on there. It's on this page. It's on the closed page, is all. It should be fine.
I assume there's still
mad tonight. Metal. Normal fire. It's fine.
Okay. Amulet. Ooh, that's a 5. But it's powerful
fine.
Magic.
It's fine.
Okay. Said swords?
Sword, yeah.
Sword, 12. Sure, it's fine.
Yep.
Dagger?
Yeah, I have to do both.
What about 2 on the dagger?
You don't have to do both, so don't count the dagger.
I'm sorry. I missed it.
Hair.
Oh, other amulet.
Armor.
Improvision amulet, 19. Hair. Natural 20, of course.
Yeah! Keeping the do.
Armor is a 3, it's leather plus 2.
It's fine.
Okay.
Barely, but it's fine. You need a 4.
I think that's...
Okay, you're good.
Everything.
All right. Also, Aaron, roll a right check. Percentile dice. Just don't roll really high. And if you roll really low, you get it. Okay. All right. So the horse balks to the side as the beast explodes. And he is not injured. Obviously, you were not injured. And then very quickly, you are at the other one. And you have not attacked yet, so you can't attack anymore.
That's almost surely going to hit.
Okay, damage. Okay, it's destroyed. Goes up in flame. And this time, you're still not in its blast radius.
Lucky bug.
Nor is the horse. Okay. I am going to give a slightly separate chance on the sword, however, because it is what you're hitting
right
with.
Right out of there.
The sword is not. Okay. So all of the wispy guys are dead. Or blowed up. Blowed
yeah,
up,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah,
and, And we go to a new segment of surprise. Yay!
Wait for me to take more damage first. Ooh, not as good as last round. I rolled a 3. Well, 2 plus 1, 3.
Let's go!
You got 16 max too?
Let's go! Yeah, let's go!
Okay. Missile fire first. So there are 3 hobgoblins that have now taken cover. But they don't have total cover. They're getting their bows out. They are not firing this segment, but they could fire next segment. So next segment, they will begin to get dangerous. One of those hobgoblins was somewhat significantly wounded by Klum last round, but not killed. That's where we're at. The hobgoblins in the woods were surprised, so they have not acted yet. Some of them are a clear shot for you as well. So you could, if you wanted to go after the surprised hobgoblins, they're a clearer shot. Okay. All right, so you have 2 shots. Both hit. So these are short range. Not point blank, but short range. So may or may not kill them. One's on both. Okay, so 1 plus 2 for the bow is 3, plus 1 for range is 4, plus 6 for being a ranger is 10. Okay, and actually that kills him. And then the same for both. Killed them both. I mean, it probably knocked him unconscious is what you did. Still effective. Okay. You know that there were at least a half dozen of them scattered around in the woods. You killed 2. All right. Plume. Bowfire?
Yes.
Shoot the guy you shot last round?
I would do 1 to the guy I shot last round and 1 to the next kill guy.
Okay. So they do have cover now.
The first one is 7.
It is a miss.
Okay.
The number 7 or
I get my
dice
roll.
The dice says 7.
The dice.
Roll on the second guy.
The 4, so total 7.
Roll on the second guy.
10. I'm adding the 4.
That would hit. Checking for cover. cover does not activate. So you did successfully shoot him.
4, 5 points of damage.
Okay, so he now another is damaged. Lots of little damages. Well, not they're not little to them, but...
It's almost just enough for him to stick around with it, though.
Yeah. Since I'm sparing my phone on Siren Sleep, I'm going to plug it in to charge.
Oh, you need a fast charger? This one's super fast.
Okay. They do not missile fire yet. So we are in melee. 9, 8, 7, 6. Okay. So you are in the center of the clearing, backside of the fire. There's nothing between you and the cave mouth. Looking to your right, you can see one guy behind a tree. Looking to your left across the fire, you can see another guy behind the tree. Now, they are using the trees for cover from your companions who are on the rise.
Right.
No.
I hate that you're lawful right now. Uprising's like, get the cave!
He's lawful cavalier.
I love him.
He's a cavalier paladin.
It's still not unreasonable. Like, there's 2 hobgoblins out here.
I mean, if your party can't handle 3 hobgoblins plus a half dozen of them in the woods.
They don't deserve to be your party.
That's what I was thinking. There could be a sacrifice, yeah. You know, a person that's being held as a sacrifice in the cave right now. Let's say, Irvo, get on, we're going in the cave.
Okay.
All right.
Are we ready?
He could probably run there almost as fast. It's only like 20 feet. So.
It's only how far?
Like 20 feet.
Oh. Never mind.
I'll follow you!
Okay. So you're riding to the cave.
Just give me a few more seconds. Following him.
my death perception was off for a bit there.
Well, I mean, you know how deep the cave goes.
Yeah.
But. Okay. So in 6, you're riding for the cave. Is that what I got? What are we in?
6.
You're riding for the cave.
Yeah.
All right. So roll a ride check.
How big is the cave now?
It's 6 feet wide, 20 feet high, so it's theoretically plenty of space. Okay.
What are you trying to say?
You're large.
Are you trying to say my dragon form is fat?
I'm calculating exactly where they're at in my head. Okay. So the horse does not balk at riding into the dark cave away from the bright fire, much activity.
Okay.
5s. 4s, 3s.
Run into the cave.
Okay, Dermot's running right behind you. 2s, 1s. New segment. Roll initiative. The bowmen now have their bows at the ready. The guys in the woods are still surprised, so we're still in surprise.
We're going to figure something better in the launch.
Missile fire. This time initiative actually matters in missile fire because they were shooting 2.
Dexterity?
Okay, I'm pretty sure they're going first then. Okay, so they will fire first. They will be at short range. Let's see. I don't think I have a cool little dice for this either. Do I? No. I have Outsiders, I have Origins. I need to order a dice for... I mean, Uprising Origins, I need to order a dice for Outsiders. I have a dice that has the face of the characters on it. I need to do that for Outsiders. I haven't done that. Okay, so it's not you. 1, 2, 3. 3 possibilities.
But you got the obscurement.
And yeah, they all have obscurement. Yeah.
There's not so much cover obscurement.
It's more like thin fog drifting around. Okay, so they're not gonna split shots, so it's gonna be this guy. So, in their infinite wisdom, two of the guys completely target Klum, and one of them completely targets Herrick. Not very smart, is it? The guy that's dropping them. Of course, they don't know which ones for sure. So they will after this round, possibly. Okay, so Herrick first. 2 shots. Short range. 1 hit, even with the obscurement. Guarantee it. Damage? 8.
hurt.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to give you soft cover because you were in the brush.
Yeah.
And you're here
with me. Never mind. Okay. Klum. Here we go. First guy. Pachow, pachow. One is definitely a miss. What is your current AC? I think I have that in front of me. AC 2. Still hits. Even with the obscurement. Pachow. Take 5.
You think
Glimpse is
2?
It
says -2 energy.
Oh, -2 would be even better.
It's like 4
less. Yeah, probably.
Well, it says shieldless -1. But
she's using a bow, so she's definitely shieldless.
I don't know if she has a shield at all.
What kind of armor is she? Oh, she has magical stuff.
Breastplate
right.
+2 and.
That's 2 from dexterity.
Yep, 2 from dex. Yep, that's -1. Okay, so that's a miss. Thanks to the obscurement. Okay. And then the other guy focuses on Clear as well. And both missed. Okay. So they're standing behind the pine trees, shooting arrows back at your little group, basically is what they're doing. And it's not real effectively, although they did shoot Herrick once. Okay. Now you're missile fire. Go ahead. So you've got 2 of the hobgoblins that are in the clearing that have cover from the trees are wounded. One of them is not. And there are still 3 or 4 that are surprised that are standing in the woods around that will eventually become unsurprised. It's only been going on 18 seconds since you started this whole thing, so.
I realized there were 3 or 4. Also surprised. Oh, well.
All
right.
They
got this.
Well, hey.
We got a drag.
One on each of the wounded again.
Okay. Go for it.
First one.
They do have cover, so.
Oh,
you're...
yeah. The first one was a 16.
Okay.
The second one, natural 20.
Okay. So they would both hit. Checking for cover. The first one, cover does not activate. The second one, cover does not activate. Okay? So, both hit.
First one for 3 points. Second one for 1 point.
Why so little?
I have 1 good roll. That's all I can do.
Really good at shooting at arms.
Okay. Still there. You picked the death of 1,000 cuts. You shot him in the toe. And you saw his foot was sticking out from behind the tree. You hear him go, "Arr! Megaga!" Which probably means my toe. All right, Ricky, 2 shots. Are you going at the guys in the clearing that are hiding behind trees, or the guys in the opening that are do not have cover and are obviously a little weaker?
In the clearing is the ones like
the ones by the fire went to trees, took cover. And now they're shooting back at you. Except they didn't shoot at you. They shot at Klum and Herrick.
Shooting at and the clearing.
Okay. So 2 different guys or same guy?
Same guy.
Okay. Both wounded.
Yeah, if you take the one that's not wounded, put them both on him, you might kill him. Probably will. If you hit. That's good call. If you're going to do 2-on-1, I would do the unwounded guy.
Because if you hit them both, it's like 20 to 30 damage for you.
Which apparently is about what they need to go down. These guys are tougher than the average top goblin. Go ahead.
7 and 8.
Both hit. Okay. Let me check for cover first before you roll for damage. First arrow, cover does not activate. Second arrow, cover does activate. So you will only hit him once. The other one hit the tree.
45.
So you rolled a 5, plus 3 is 8, plus 6 is 14, right? Still there.
You're adding that,
okay. Sunk in his chest, but he's still there. He howls in agony, but knows better than to stop fighting.
He just did 3 rounds of combat.
Okay. And, that was missile fire. Okay. All right. So, at the end of last round, you made it into the cave mouth. The cave turns sharply left just inside, and it goes about 20 feet. There's little bits of stuff like sitting along the side, but you're going back kind of quick past. You're not really seeing. You did see a barrel, small barrel. Okay. And then, you covered the 20 feet. And now, this round, as you're turning to the right, and you can see that there's a hallway, and these are natural caverns. They're not like corners, or it's not bricks or anything, right? And so there's a hallway that goes to the right, and then there's a hallway that goes straight ahead and curves left. There is light coming from ahead to the left. It's a reddish-colored light, though, not fire, not like yellow light from a fire or a torch. Okay? The one to the right is dark. The one ahead to the left is colored light. Okay. And you pretty much get the same information, except there's a big horse's butt, like right in front of you with a guy on it. Now we're in melee, so you'll go in your melee initiative. So melee 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Had to be there somewhere. Okay, so the two of you are going forward. You've got a tunnel to the right. It goes into a dark, theoretically high-ceilinged room or area. Tunnel to the straight ahead left has kind of orangish colored light.
Straight and then turns left, or is
yes, it curves to the left. It's a, more like a gentle curve. It's a cavern. They're not tall. They're not like angles.
Okay, we're going right.
What do you like?
Okay, all right.
In my story, knowledge of stories, sacrifices happen where you can see things. To the light.
Okay. Well, that's he said go toward the dark, not the light.
Oh,
that's true. But if you can see in the dark, then everywhere is where you can see things. So let's start here.
Okay.
I mean, you could go straight ahead.
Yes,
though,
already in the party.
You could split.
Yeah.
You're chaotic. What do you care?
I'll go to the
room. Okay. So you turn into the room, or whatever it is, and you head past him, get the horse's butt out of your face, and start around.
That's right. I don't want to hear my story.
Okay.
Is it? Do I know right away that he's leaving? Or?
You will by the end of the segment. Okay. All right, so initiative 3, 2, what was it, Harris initiative?
My initiative was 4, but the only thing I'm going to do is before the end of the round, I'm going to cast the spell that I refer to as Blood Moon Light into the woods on one side.
Okay.
Because I know it demoralized the archers that were in the woods at one time.
Okay.
You'd be able to do something this time.
Okay. So.
While they're still surprised.
Yeah, so you can see here and there, mm-hmm. So kind of like. Make sure, for sure, one of them in the middle of it, hopefully
one,
others.
Hopefully
yeah.
Hopefully a couple.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, they're wiping out their champions and their demons.
Yep. Okay, so the spell goes off. It takes a moment to know what effect it had because they're still surprised. So, all right, and then we go to the other round. All right, so inside the cave, you charge into the right, and what you see is a very dark, very dim room. You can just make out from ambient light and magical sword.
Yes.
Okay, so magical sword glows with candlelight, effectively one candlelight. So you can read with it at 1 foot, but outside that, it's just dim light in the room. And what you have charged into is in the room there is a round table, heavy wooden, rough wooden table. And around the table, up until the moment that you charged in, there were several hobgoblins, 8 or 10 total. And they were sort of like sleeping on the table or laying on the table or eating at the table or whatever. And you charge into the room and they are very surprised by your arrival on horseback in the middle of their room, okay? There is a narrow, 4 foot wide, basically, exit on the opposite side of the room that goes ahead to the left, okay? But the table blocks it, and so do all the hobgoblins. So you could ride to, around the outside edge.
How narrow or how wide is the entrance that I can enter?
About 7 feet.
At least 2 or 3
won't be yet. Yeah, 2 or 3. Mind you, at the moment they're pretty surprised.
Yeah.
So it's going to be. All right, let's see exactly how long, shall we? Not that you'll know exactly, but go ahead and roll a d6. Okay, so they're going to get 1 to 2 segments of surprise. So they're not going to be surprised for too long. But they also don't have weapons drawn, or some of them can just grab a spear, that kind of thing, or hand axes on the table, things like that. So they'll be, and they can clock all night. So it is potentially dangerous for you and or the horse. Okay. All right. You charge forward around the corner toward the red light, and you can't see into the room yet. But you can see what appears to be the top of a structure that sits below floor level, and it has black iron bars. The light also comes from below floor level, but you can't actually see down there because before you get to the point where you could see, like, across the crest of the ground that's there. It's like a drop. Before you get there, you run into a very large hobgoblin. Roll for surprise.
One.
Okay.
Plus one dex.
Plus one dex. Okay, so you are both surprised to see each other for one segment, so nothing will happen in the first segment.
Look over there!
Okay. But you see it's a single large hobgoblin with an axe in front of you.
He looks rude.
Okay. And then the room is behind him, and the floor, the majority of the floor of the room is down 6 or 8 feet. So you can't really make it out, but you can see that there are bars, like from the top of a cage or something, that's sticking up in the back. And then the reddish-orange glow is coming from down there as well. Okay. So this next segment, you will do nothing, and so will he. And then that will be the last surprise segment outside, as a matter of fact. Okay. So Herrick is, I take it, staying undercover currently. Clume and Asturd can shoot.
Get on. Second.
Do you have ammunition?
You can if you want. It's not really necessary at this point. Did you? How was it really good?
Six.
Roll. Go ahead. You guys have ammunition.
I'll do both shots on the same guy. The first one I shot
every time. The guy you shot in the toe?
Yes. 7, 11, and
both hit. Oh, hold on, check for cover. Keep forgetting the cover. Okay, the first shot is covered, so it doesn't hit. Second shot is not.
Second shot is 4.
He's still there. He's hanging on with the thing. He's like looking a little bit like a pincushion, but he's still there.
He's got like 4 arrows in him.
Yeah. That's probably true that only the one really stuck. Shot him right in the chest. One hit him in the foot, and then he pulled his foot back. So there are still two guys in the... No, three guys. There are still three guys, because you didn't kill your guy last round. So there are still three guys in the clearing area behind trees returning fire. Okay. Then there are still at least 5 or 6 of them scattered in the woods around. Last segment, he did throw up a kind of an eerie red light across the forest on the left-hand side, and it's bathing down over some of the hobgoblins in that area and may have some kind of an effect. You don't know what. So the ones you can see, two on the right, neither is in point-blank range; they're both in short range. And this is their last surprise. They'll be unsurprised after the second.
The guy out and finish off the guy.
Okay.
I shot a lot of time.
One shot or two on him?
One shot.
Okay, so one shot on him.
The other one, the second closest.
Okay, the other one is barely wounded. Okay, go ahead, both of them.
19 and 16.
Definitely hit, he's dead. And then the second one did the damage roll.
5.
He's gone too. Oh, check for cover. Hold on. Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.